if anyone doesn't have a handout, they're on the back chairs. So we're going to read scriptures to illustrate that prayer in the book of Acts was very effective, and it was a dynamic force used by God to establish the early church. I happened to be looking in a book one time, a research book, and I was amazed to see how many times prayer is used in the book of Acts. So what I thought we would do, we're going to read a series of accounts, and whoever is called upon to read, if you want to offer a comment, you're welcome to offer a comment, or if the brethren want to offer a short comment, you're welcome to offer some short comments, and hopefully we're going to try to cover as many as we can. And we're going to take a break for reading the scriptures, and we're going to learn some new hymns. Now, these hymns that I have here probably are very new to everyone that's here. I did use the first one, It Is Glory Just to Walk with Him. I used it once before, but these are all new hymns. They're also new to me, and I found them to be very enjoyable, either with the melody and also with the words. So the words of hymns are very important because they would stay in our minds, and many times we would associate a hymn with some of the experiences that we have. I know in my own case, sometimes if I feel there's a clash between what I prefer and what the Lord seems to indicate, then I sing the hymn, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. And then that usually helps resolve a little friction that you start to develop in your mind, because I think as long as we're alive, we would always have certain preferences, not that it necessarily is against the Lord's will. So hopefully that some of these hymns might be a blessing to you. So when we introduce the new hymn, Sister Joy will play it for us once through, and then we'll sing all the verses, and hopefully we could go right through all the hymns and all of the scriptures. So let's open our Bibles to the book of Acts. And we won't have to change to a different book, because we're going to read from the same book. So, Sister Ali, could you read for us Acts 1:13 to 15? I'm going to add a few scriptures to a few of these. And then we'll have Sister Wanda, would you read from the first chapter, verse 23 to 36? And then Arthur Cook, could you read chapter 3, verse 1?
Okay. Acts 1, 13 to 15. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, and there abode with Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120.
Okay, do you have any comments, Sister Ollie, that you'd like to make?
No.
Okay. All right, Sister Sister Wanda, we're going to call on you then. You have chapter 1, verses 23 to 26.
And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whither of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles.
Okay. Yes, Sister Wanda?
I appreciate the fact that, again, prayer is shown where they had selected the two they thought would be wise to select from, but it was with prayer they went to the Lord for the Lord to make his final decision.
Yes, okay. So this would establish a precedent that they wanted to acknowledge that they wanted the Lord to be aware, that they wanted to pray for him for his will in this particular matter. Okay, and then we're going to read 3:1, and then we'll open up to the friends if any of the friends have any comments on these scriptures. Chapter 3, verse 1.
Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour.
Arthur, do you have any thoughts of your own that you'd like to add?
Well, they were devout and reverent men. Apparently, they were doing a lot of praying.
Okay. Does anyone have in their margin as to what the ninth hour would correspond to? Because this would be on a Jewish reckoning of time.
3 p.m.
Yeah, 3 p.m. Okay. And it's interesting to note that this was a regular time of prayer at 3 p.m. What time did Jesus die on the cross? 3 p.m. So many times when many individuals were praying, Jesus was actually offering up his life for everyone. Does anyone have any comments that you'd like to contribute on the first three selections that we read? If you have any thought or comment, why, you could offer a thought. Yes, Sister Lorraine.
Well, what just came to my mind now is what we were studying during our volume study, that at the time Jesus was saying all these parables and saying these sayings that nobody could understand, it's because he had not yet died and the Holy Spirit had not come upon them, where now Jesus has already ascended to heaven to be with his Father, and the Holy Spirit was sent down upon them. So now when they pray and they're seeking to meet together, they're going to begin to understand all these things that Jesus had said.
Yes. And prayer, as I mentioned, was used by God as a dynamic force to help develop the church. Sister Donna, and then Art.
Well, even though they prayed and chose Matthias, he was not the one that would take Judas's place. It was the Apostle Paul. So they jumped the gun. They had not had Pentecost yet.
Yes. So even though they acknowledged God, God overruled because he had something else in mind. So this becomes a lesson that many times we could pray, but the Lord has his own will, and he would reveal it in due time. Arthur, did you have a short comment?
Could it be that these apostles went up at 3 o'clock to thank the Lord for the ransom that had been given? I believe this is after the ransom was given.
About the rest?
This was after the ransom had been given.
Oh, yes, yes.
Could it be they were thanking the Lord for that ransom?
Yes. It mentions in the second chapter, verse 47, it says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. So they could see that the church was really developing. All right, Daniel, you have the last comment on this section.
I think the thought would be is nice, but I don't think that that's what the scripture is saying here, because they were going up into the temple. And in the temple at the ninth hour was when they had their hour of prayer. And so that was a regular temple service rather than a Christian service. This was Jews.
All right. But I think what Art was saying, that they could be doing a temple, or even though they had a service, this was a regular established service that was done all the time.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying according to the Jewish custom, it was the ninth hour in the temple, which on a regular basis was the hour of prayer.
Yes.
And I think the apostles were joining in with it, but I think this was a regular thing that the Jews themselves had set up for a long period of time before.
Yes, right. Yes. I think that this was a regular established service. All right, let's turn to our first hymn, and Sister Joy will be playing it for you. And if you can, try to watch the melody and also watch the words, because the words are very effective in hymns.
Thank you.
for our next section, we would like to have a Sister Mary Stanis. Would you read Acts 4, 16 to 31? And then Brother Stanis, would you read Acts 6, 1 to 6? And then we're going to sing a hymn. So that's 4, 16 to 31 and 6, 1 to 6.
Saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. As who by the mouth of your servant David,
to 31.
Yes. Who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on them, on their threats, and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place, for they were as assembled together, was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness.
Okay. And Mary, do you have any thought of your own? That I know you're reading this for the first time, so. Okay. All right. Okay, and then Brother Stanis, 6, 1 to 6.
Now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a murmuring against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the world, of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorius, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them.
Marion, do you have any comment?
The priorities, this section touches on the priorities that we have to give to God over anything else surrounding us.
All right. So then we're using prayer to establish the priority of establishing deacons in the church. So this would be the first time that we're voting for deacons. It wouldn't be a vote, but they prayed and they selected them by putting their hands on them. Does anyone else have a thought on these scriptures? Dorothea?
I just want to take note in verse 3 where it says the Holy Spirit. Some have Holy Ghost in their Bible, but it was more from the Vatican manuscripts that it was the Spirit of wisdom that they were full of here, not that they were full of the Holy Spirit in the sense that we use it. So they had the Spirit of wisdom, which is still from the Lord if they were.
Right. So you would say more or less that they were expressing this in their conduct and in their lives.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. All right, so this would be when they would establish deacons at the first time. Okay, we're going to move now to our second hymn. And Brother Mark Candle to read chapter 8, verses 14 to 17. And Sister Lee Manzik, would you take chapter 8, 22 and 24? The first one is chapter 8, verses 14 to 17.
Now when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for he had not yet fallen upon any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they began laying their hands on them, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit.
Okay. You have any comment, Mark?
Well, it does show that with prayer, receive the Holy Spirit.
Yes, okay. So prayer, again, is illustrated to be a dynamic force in establishing a church, and now the gospel was going to reach Samaria. So first it started in Judah, now we're going to Samaria, which would be the center section of Palestine. Lee?
Therefore repent of this wickedness of yours, and pray the Lord that, if possible, the intention of your heart may be forgiven you. But Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me yourselves, so that nothing of what you have said may come upon me.
Okay, this is difficult to pick up the full account. We don't have time to read all of it, but they were praying for Simon, and he was a sorcerer at the time. So he was asking that they would pray for him, and they showed that prayer was very important at this time. All right, we're going to turn to our next hymn, and this is it's number 197, Singing Along the Way. I just would like to make a little note here. I just happened to notice on the last line, where it says, singing along the way with Christ by God. I'm going to give my own interpretation that the word God here means Elohim, mighty one. So Christ is a mighty one, so he would not be the God. I checked the hymn, but sometimes things slip by. Next, we have quite a few to read, and well, I'll ask Marilyn Binda, would you read chapter 9, verses 11 to 16? And Irene Dinansky, would you read chapter 9, 36 to 42? And let's see, we have Sister Florence Vigas, would you read chapter 10, 2, 4, 30, and 31, just like we have on our sheet? And Ben Dinansky, could you read chapter 10, verse 9? And then we have a long one here. Colleen Stewart, could you read chapter 11, 1 to 18?
Acts 9, 11 to 16. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did he nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, and hear, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. And behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles, and kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake.
Do you have any comment of your own, Marilyn?
I would just say that at sometimes what appears on the outside isn't what the Lord has in mind to use as he sees us fit for work.
Okay, so he was a chosen vessel unto the Lord. All right, now we're going to read chapter 9, 36 to 42.
Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydia was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord.
Pretty well self-explanatory.
Okay.
But the thought is that Peter prayed about it.
Yes.
Before he did anything.
Right. And this is a very outstanding event because you sort of question, how would Peter possibly know that he could even have the potential of raising someone from the dead? So evidently he must have been very energized by the Holy Spirit because this really was an outstanding thing, because we think in terms of the Lord raising someone from the dead, but here Peter was actually able to raise a person from the dead. All right, our next reading will be chapter 10, 2, 4, 30, and 31.
A devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people, and prayed to God always. And when he looked on him, he was afraid, and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. 30. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God.
Okay, so while Cornelius was praying, now Brother Ben is going to read, and we're going to find out what Peter was doing. Chapter 10, verse 9.
On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Peter was praying there.
All right, so the Lord coordinated these prayers.
Yes.
Cornelius was praying, and also Peter was praying, and the Lord brought the two together, and this became a great important event that Cornelius would be the first Gentile convert. All right, now we're going to turn to chapter 11, and we're going to read verses 1 to 18. Sister Colleen.
Now the apostles and the brethren who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those who were circumcised took issue with him, saying, "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them." But Peter began speaking and proceeded to explain to them in orderly sequence, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. A certain object came coming down like a great sheet lowered by four corners from the sky, and it came right down to me. And when I had fixed my gaze upon it and was observing it, I saw the four-footed animals of the earth and the wild beasts and the crawling creatures and the birds of the air. And I also heard a voice saying to me, Arise, Peter, kill and eat. But I said, By no means, Lord, for nothing unholy or unclean has ever entered my mouth. But a voice from heaven answered a second time, What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. And this happened three times, and everything was drawn back up into the sky. And behold, at that moment three men appeared before the house in which we were staying, having been sent to me from Caesarea. And the Spirit told me to go with them without misgivings. And these six brethren also went with me, and we entered the man's house. And he reported to us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, Send to Joppa and have Simon, who is also called Peter, brought here. And he shall speak words to you by which you will be saved, you and all your household. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as he did upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he used to say, John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If God therefore gave to them the same gift as he gave to us also after believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way? And when they heard this, they quieted down and glorified God, saying, Well then, God has granted to the Gentiles also the repentance that leads to life.
Colleen, you have any of your own thought?
Well, that's just talking about how the gospel was given to the Gentiles then.
Okay. So prayer again was used to bring the Gentiles into the church. And this would be the continuation of the story of Peter and Cornelius, how it was coordinated that they both prayed and God brought Cornelius into the Christian church. Now we're going to turn to our next hymn. And this would be 249, where we have a little circle around the 249. It's just like His great love.
Thank you.
I heard a current famous pianist say that whenever you play the piano, right, wrong, or indifferent, you have to put your own personality into the music. So I'd like to thank Joy. I certainly appreciate it, the way she plays that, and she plays the hymn so well. So we appreciate that she's here to play for us today. We still have time to read more of our scriptures. Sister Bonnie, would you read chapter 12, verses 1 to 17? And Sister Irene, would you read chapter 13, verses 1 to 3? And Jack Whitaker, could you read chapter 14, verse 23? And Donna Whitaker, could you read chapter 16, verse 9? And Alice, could you read chapter 16, verses 13 and 16? And Sister Louise Scott, could you read chapter 16, verse 25? 12, 1 to 17.
Now about that time, Harold the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but Peter was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. When Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. The angel said unto him, Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and was not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed with him from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord had sent his angel and had delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the exploitation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And when they said unto her, Thou art mad, but she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then they say, It is his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But him beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, Go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place.
Okay. You have any comments, Sister Bonnie?
Well, it shows that prayer can help a person whatever trouble they're in.
Okay, thank you. It indicates that the Lord developed prayer in the early church, because James was slain, and now the church was very conscious that Peter also might be taken from them. So the Lord used this occasion to rescue Peter. So it's a very dynamic account. Okay, 13:1-3.
Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them, and then they sent them away.
Okay. Do you have any comments, Sister Irene?
No, but I think that prayer is very powerful, and there are quite a few names mentioned here, and I think that they had fasted and prayed, so it proves that you don't pray just with a mind that is wandering, but you have to fast and pray and think about what you are praying for, and the Holy Spirit will guide you and help you.
Yes. Thank you for pointing up the fasting part. That was very important. That's very nice. We're going to continue with 14:23.
And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed.
Jack, you have any comment?
Maintaining the theme here, praying for the new elders in the church.
Okay, thank you. Next we have chapter 16, verse 9.
And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us.
Okay. Do you have any thought, Donna?
No, thank you.
All right. So this would be a call to help in Macedonia. All right. Next we have chapter 16, verses 13 and 16. Sister Ellis.
And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying.
Okay.
This was the beginning of the church at Philippi, and they didn't have a synagogue, so they went to the riverside where prayer was wont to be made. That means it was a custom for them to pray together at the riverside.
Okay, very good. So this may have been very scenic to it, and it's very nice you mentioned this was the start of the church at Philippi, and Lydia was part of this church, and also the jailer. Remember the jailer when Paul and Barnabas were put in prison? So this was the beginning of this particular church. Okay, then we have Sister Louise, 16:25.
And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Well, this was when Paul and Silas were in prison, and they were beaten with stripes, and they prayed to the Lord, and the Lord gave them strength to endure, that their faith was so strengthened, they sang praises to the Lord, and the other prisoners heard, and they were amazed that they could endure that and still sing.
Yes, this is a very amazing account, and so these individuals too, the jailer was also included in the church at Philippi. So this would be the start of the church of Philippi, and when Paul wrote his letter, he wrote his letter in prison from Rome back to Philippi. We don't have time to read more scriptures, so what we're going to do, we're going to sing two hymns in closing. Sometimes we sing two hymns in the beginning, so we're going to sing two in closing. So we're going to sing 198 first, and then our second hymn will be 199.
Oh.
Our next hymn will rise in the last stanza and will be led in closing prayer by Brother David Skeen.
Gracious and Holy Father, we thank Thee for this day of worship, to come closer to Thee and yet away from the things of this world, and fellowship with the brethren and with Thee and the Lord Jesus. We thank Thee for this time of singing and the importance of prayer, which is so vital in all our lives. We pray Thy blessing on each and every one as we depart to go to our several homes, that Thou would be with us till we meet again. Forgive us where we come short of doing Thy will, and be with those who specially need Thee at this time, and bless according to their individual needs. All these gifts and favors we ask through the shed blood and merit of our beloved Lord and Savior, Thy beloved Son. Amen.